Yeah, welcome everybody. We're very happy to see you on our second integration call. It's very good to have you all here. We're excited to share this time with you. You probably know by now, but I'm Robin Alfred. I'm going to be today's host, but the session, the integration call, is going to be primarily led by Kosha. I will be supporting. So we're going to pass over to Kosha in a moment. In order to settle you a little bit into the call, a few tech announcements that hopefully will support you. You can choose to shift between gallery view and speaker view at any time. And we will be at some point moving into triads. Kosha is going to do a kind of integration teaching at the beginning. And then at some point we will move into triads. If you would like to be in a BIPOC triad, if you identify as BIPOC and you'd like to be in a BIPOC triad, please change your name on the Zoom screen so that it starts, so that it says B and then your name, and then we know to put you in a BIPOC group. And if you're not able to be in a triad, also if you could change your name and put NT, we won't allocate you. We do want to really warmly invite you into the triad space. It's a kind of integral part of digestion and integration of the teachings. So I know some people maybe can't do it because of for technical reasons, but we would encourage you, if there's a little bit of an edge for you, to go into a triad and kind of share more deeply there. We would encourage you to kind of notice that's an edge and maybe cross it rather than step back from it. So just a warm invitation into the triad space. If you really can't do it or it's really not for you, then please put an NT, no triad, NT, before your name and we'll know not to allocate you to a triad. And I think that's all I need to say by way of starting. And I'm very happy to pass over to you, Kosha, now.
Thank you so much, Robin, and welcome everyone. Lovely to see you here for our second integration call. I want to start by acknowledging that this has been a special time for us in the Pocket Project as we have worked until Thursday, 12 days in a row, nonstop, pretty much, to support Sposme Oriya to make it out of Kabul, out of Afghanistan. She's a professor of psychology at Kabul University. I also know that Sposme has actually been trying to join us today for this call from Kabul. And yeah, through our networks, we were able to open up many opportunities for her, get her on the evacuation waiting lists for quite a few countries. And she really got into that tightness of the last days before the explosion in Kabul, where on Wednesday she was at the airport. We were working with her and the foreign ministries of Germany, UK, Holland to get her into the airport. She was actually with her sister, Freshtat. They were waiting outside the gate, exactly where the explosion took place a day later. And then that evening, we just had from the crisis teams of the different countries, we got the signs that they'd had security alerts and were closing down operations really rapidly, that all these activists, people on the ground, academics who were in danger, but not in the first row of danger, that they were not going to be able to make it out. And it was heartbreaking for us, for Sposme. So she went back home. She and her sister made it back home safely the next morning. She felt really called to go to the airport again, but we were really able to work with her and just say, look, we all feel, even Thomas, the opportunity is closed and it's dangerous, don't go. And then a few hours later, we got the information of this huge blast that cost the lives of more than 170 people at the airport, many of them children, women. And because this is so close to us and Sposme is in our course, we wanted to start today our integration call by relating being with what has happened and is happening in Kabul.
And Kosha?
Yeah.
Just want to let you know that Sposma actually is also on the call.
Great, so she arrived now. So Sposma, a warm, warm welcome from all of us. And if you would like to come online, just so you can, people can actually relate to you in person for a moment, let us know. We don't want to put you in the spotlight without knowing that
Hello, everyone, and hello, Kosha. Yeah, thank you so much for thinking about Afghanistan and saying something about Afghanistan in the beginning of this call. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and maybe we can just take this moment, if that's okay for you, Sposma, to practice what we've been learning so far. That we just take a moment to, you know, I said to Sposma when we had a call a few days ago, it's just, it was so, I think for many people in our field of the Pocket Project, it was an amazing experience to be so close to you during all these days and to relate through you to what is happening in Kabul, but that it's not abstract. It's through you, the specificity of your heart, your beauty, your courage, and the real existential threat that you were in at the airport, that we just, it really opened our hearts very much. So so maybe you want to say more, and otherwise I would just invite us all to go inward.
I want to say only that it was terrible, and even the change of the regime in Kabul and in Afghanistan is traumatic for all people, because it's differently changed. Everything changed, the life of people changed. All of us were at homes, and especially women. And one thing that today has happened and shocked me very, very much shocked me, it was, there was a meeting in higher education, and they only called the main professors, and they didn't call the women professors and women instructors. And it was very shocking for me. And in that meeting, all of the main instructors were from all the private and government universities, but even one woman was not among them. So it shows the shows the result of what are we thinking, that maybe we don't have any place in the future. The experience in the airport also was very terrible, 5 days. But one thing that gave me the peace of mind and gave me the courage and hope for future was all of you and all of the Pocket Project and the Thomas Hubel Network was with me, and I didn't felt alone myself. And I hope that in the future I could leave the country and save my life and my family life and continue my education. Thank you. Thank you so much again.
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Sposma. Yeah, and it's more, you know, there's so much more there that I would love to say to you. You know, just the one thing is that we are really dedicated to staying with you through the next weeks and months. You know, I think in the BIPOC breakout group, I know that they said, leave no one behind. leave no one alone, and that we practice that in our field, that we are with each other in moments of true, deep challenge, and that you will not be alone, and we will stay with you. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And maybe now we can even take away the spotlight, Anna, and just, if you like, come back to the gallery view, also from me, just so we can all move back to the gallery view, because this kind of situations, you know, for me also, I can say that as a leader, also in my previous work with the Global Ecovillage Network, I was often in situations like this, where a friend, a community that I was directly related to was in existential danger. And I have never before experienced a situation where I was also, as a support person to SPOSME, not alone. There was Anna, there was a close team, there was a large team of people, and it just felt like we are, it's a us that is holding this. Not an I, not a no one, it's really us. And this was deeply touching also for me in these past weeks. And I think this is part of what we are wanting to build up in this course with you, in this field with you. That is part of trauma-informed leadership, that we know we cannot and we need not do it alone as leaders. So yeah, let's just take a moment to come inside. This was a strong opening. And even just hearing SPOSME speaking about the meeting in higher education, all the male professors being called by the Taliban, and the female professors. SPOSME is a professor for psychology at Kabul University, not being called. Now let's just take a moment as we hear this information to notice our bodies. We practice what we learn here, our three sync. So we feel our bodies. And we notice how this information has landed in our bodies. This information, the information about the explosion, the information about SPOSME being at the airport. And let's just see whether we can sense into our own bodies, each of us. And help each other through our presence here to create a larger vessel so that the information has more space in our bodies to land into. And you might also sense that there are places in you where maybe you contracted. Maybe there's a contraction or a tension. Maybe there's a strong energy flow through your body just in connecting to our group, to SPOSME, to the collective as we relate to this information. Maybe there's ancestral connections that are opening up for you as you relate to ancestors or to yourself where you were not welcomed because of your color, because of your gender, where you were not invited in. Yeah, and also just relate to your emotions. What are the emotions that come up? what is happening in your heart. And I notice a lot is flowing in me also. And also relate to your mind. And some of us might immediately jump to thoughts about, oh, what can we do? What should we do? And on all three levels, in the body, emotional, the mind, that we don't need to change anything. We just relate, offer space, offer witnessing capacity, more space to what is happening. And just knowing that none of us are here alone. We are all here as part of the group. So we might also take a moment to open our eyes and relate to each other. Maybe you start by relating to one person. And just see whether you can go beyond the seeing them to sensing them. Where you feel them with your body and your mind. Offering space for someone else in your witnessing awareness. Yeah, and then from our hearts, let's just consciously offer a heart space to Sposme in particular today. Just send her our love, our care. It's as if we warm up the space between us. And very specifically in relationship to you, Sposme. May you be safe. And then for a moment, we can also open this warmth for anybody in our field today who needs support, who's in a place, a situation where you need to feel that you are not alone. Good. So with that, we're going to go into our recap session. I know this is a bit of a shift, but let's keep this space with us. And we will have a global social witnessing call. And probably the two next global social witnessing calls will be allocated to Afghanistan, so we will have more time to practice and be with and care together. And I want to just give us a moment as we transition to recapping and acknowledge that, you know, this is what our course is about, right? Trauma-informed leadership, our practice. And one of the quotes that we brought at the beginning is, if everybody looks through a broken glass, then together we are looking at a world that looks broken. Oh, maybe as we go there, I just want to remind you that it's up to you what works best for you to stay with the gallery view and connect to everyone, or to click on speaker view and see me, whatever works better for you. If everybody looks through a broken glass, then together we're looking at a world that looks broken. But when I notice the crack in my window and you notice yours, and we start healing our cracks, then we start to look at the world through clear glass. And that's where trauma healing starts. It unifies the world. And that's really the vision and the aim of our work in the Pocket Project and our work in this course, our aim to start unifying the world. And we started at the beginning of the course, I want to create like a flow through what we've experienced so far. Just touch again on a few of the essentials, you could say. So we started by looking at the qualities of trauma-informed leadership. And of course, that starts by being informed about trauma. So we started to look again at what is trauma really? And the acknowledgement of the history and the current situation of humankind, where we're constantly, and some of us much more than others, and our ancestors were confronted with situations that were too intense for our nervous systems to be able to digest. So we were confronted with situations that are overwhelming. And when this happens, our nervous systems very intelligently pockets that energy to be digested at a later point in time. So the individual or the collective cannot stay related to the experience, and that experience is shut down or dissociated. So as future, you know, the question is, when will we have the resources to actually attend to these pockets of trauma that are dotted throughout our collective, our ancestral, our personal spheres? And they create the reality, they co-create the reality that we are a part of. We could say that the edge of our conscious awareness stops where these pockets of trauma start. Yeah, so once we are able to integrate a pocket of trauma, or we start to be able, our wisdom grows and true future emerges. So trauma leads us to, in many different ways, reenact the past. Personally, organizationally, in our collectives, until we have the resources available to start integrating that past. And as we become trauma-informed leaders, we shift from a perspective of what is wrong with me, with my team, with my organization, with the world. We shift this to, wow, what happened to me, to us, to the world in the past that we are showing up this way in the now? What is wanting to be integrated now? So also in that way, the challenges that we face now are no longer in the way. They are the way. They become the way. They become the signposts that point us to pockets of unconscious energy, of trauma in ourselves, in others, in the system. Yeah, and as we looked at leadership, Thomas shared with us the importance of seeing that leadership is a movement. It's not a role. When we become trauma-informed leaderships and we start to navigate this reality, we shift. And we know that as leaders, we cannot know the answers. We need to practice humility. We need to keep reading, keep adjusting, keep learning from others. We need to allow our vulnerability as leaders to be more present. And we shift in our view of our organizations from power-based hierarchies to relational, competence-based hierarchies. For instance, in a moment where as a leader, I am too triggered to stay related, I need to pass on leadership, or I need to speak to that. I need to make myself vulnerable. I need to find a way to consciously be with that. So to be a trauma-informed leadership, we need to do the groundwork. And we worked with some of the basic skills that we need to keep practicing, keep bringing online. We spoke about the superpowers of presence, relationality, three-sync, resourcing ourselves, bringing enjoyment present in our lives so that we can continue to become more and more present as we meet the reality of trauma and potential in ourselves, in our organizations. The practice of self-regulation, continuing to meet and regulate our own nervous system, but also, and even more importantly, and I would say this sits at the heart of our work in the Pocket Project, co-regulation. Because many of us have become more adept to self-regulating my nervous system in moments where I'm triggered, but this place where we start sensing the other, we start attuning to the other, and we learn to actually co-regulate, to provide more space, provide more grounding, provide a warmth when a warmth is needed by somebody in an existentially threatening situation, for instance. Yeah, and the notion that co-creating coherence in our organizations, in our groups, is a key ingredient to allowing a witnessing space to arise. In module 3, Thomas spoke to leadership and personal resilience, training ourselves to enjoy more and more essential moments where we relate to space and flow, where we really focus on humility and the space, continuously bringing in the space that allows us to reflect, digest, and integrate. He says, space is a function that serves both the integration of the past, which is unintegrated history, and the download of the future, which is intelligence that's downloading my own future. So space bringing together both trauma, the trauma from the past, and the listening to the future, and inserting space in our lives. He said, leadership is about creating coherence in a situation, in a team. My internal coherence supports group coherence, which in turn supports movement. Flourishing organizations constantly stay updated in the movement and transmit it through coherence into the whole organization. The trauma layers that we bring together in an organization create reduced movement, incoherence. And he invited us to differentiate in ourselves between where are we reacting and where are we responding to situations. Where reactions come from a place of feeling triggered and a response comes from this place of more spacious awareness, where I actually feel the other, I attune to the other. Response comes from a space of co-regulating. In module 4, Jens spoke about how personal, ancestral, and collective trauma shows up in our team contexts and looked at moments of flow and moments of stuckness that we experience as leaders in our teams. And on a personal level, this might have to do with our personal trauma that we bring to our teams. And on a collective level, we might learn to perceive more precisely in our teams. When are we in moments of movement? When are we in moments of stuckness? How might we relate to our purpose more to allow more movement, a movement of inspiration from the purpose to come in? How can we keep relating to coherence in our teams? How can we align to natural rhythms and cycles in the movements that as we relate to trauma, we might have a moment of increased incoherence, stuckness, and then as we bring in more resilience, more flow might come in. How can we foster emergence in our teams? Yeah, and in module 5, in our last module, Robin led us to listen as leaders, to look at how we might create an environment for ourselves, for our teams, where we listen to and are guided by what Thomas calls the whisper of the future. Where the future is something, maybe not what we, sometimes we speak about the future in ways where it really is a reenactment of the past. But in this case, the future we speak about is the future that comes like a whisper over the horizon. And we might not immediately, it will not be what is written in our project plan for the next step, in our business plan for the next year. You know, it's something that is constantly alive, constantly changing, constantly emerging. And this refinement as a leader to listen to that. And, you know, like with Spozme and our team to really listen to, oh, there's still an openness, it could happen, she might be able to get into the airport. And then suddenly to hear, and no, the doors are closed now, she needs to stay at home, it's not safe anymore, yeah? It's not something that anybody could have predicted. We needed to keep listening in the moments. So how can we have the courage to listen and then the courage to act on what we hear? And Robin read a poem, I believe, with a sentence, sometimes we spend a lifetime pretending not to know what we know. Yeah, so how can we become a conduit for the future? And Robin brought, just to help us in this, three ways in which we relate to the future. He spoke about ways in which we think about this, the future. This might be our business plans, our project plans, and he called it our imagination of the future, what we imagine might happen. And then he invited us to a level of intuitive relationship to the future, which is a sensing into the field where we might be able to relate to latent resources waiting to be accessed, but also we might be able to relate to latent pockets of trauma that might be ripe to be presenced more. And then he invited us to a level of relating to the future from pure inspiration, presencing. And he related to activities for us to activate these. And I just want to hand over to Robin here to just add to this.
Wow, thank you. Thanks, Kasia. What a great summary of our journey so far. It's been a rich and deep summary, and there's appreciation that's being expressed for that in the chat. Yeah, just maybe one or two things that I didn't have time to touch in on in the module itself. Like, I just wanted to relate these capacities, particularly this capacity to really presence the future, to the nature of trauma. And you might remember that at the end of the session, we did there was a meditation where I invited you to carry a question or a theme into a meditation, and the invitation in the meditation was to open up, and maybe to open up here from the crown and open to insight to flow in. And then you spoke about that and presence that in the triad. And I just wanted to share a couple more slides about how trauma also impacts our ability to do that. This, in a way, was our practice last time. We invited the possibility through presence to draw in inspiration and to allow that to filter through our mind, heart, body into manifestation, into innovation. And the image at the bottom there is, of course, the need to weave those relationships, the horizontal relationships. And you might remember an image that Thomas sometimes works with that I shared with you, which is around kind of going up into the light in a way as a needle, and then coming down and weaving. And we go up into the light, and then we come down and we weave horizontally. And that then results in manifestation, in a project, in a new organization, in something new and fresh. And of course, when we carry trauma and we carry frozen energy in our body, that impacts both our capacity to draw in light. Like there's almost a parallel blockage, if you like, towards the light. So we have a frozen part in our system, and then that also freezes and blocks our access to the light. It also, of course, has an impact on our capacity to relate. So both of those movements, the vertical and the horizontal, will be impacted by the trauma that we carry in our body. And as we integrate the trauma, we start to experience what we might call post-traumatic growth. And post-traumatic growth, in a way, is a kind of win-win-win-win, because we start to release the energy that is frozen in the trauma. That's significant in its own right. Then we start to release the energy it takes to keep the energy in the trauma frozen. That's also energy. Again, one of Thomas's metaphors is the energy it takes to run a fridge. It's not just that we put something in the freezer and it's frozen. It takes energy to keep it frozen. And it's the same in our system. It takes energy to keep the trauma frozen. So when we start to integrate the energy, we don't only release the energy that's frozen in the trauma, we also no longer need the energy to keep the trauma frozen. That in itself opens more pathways to the light, and it builds more relational competence on the horizontal level. And then from there, it's much easier, more effortless to innovate, to manifest, to lead. So I just wanted to complete, in a way, something that didn't have time to do in the session itself, around linking those practices to the integration of trauma. And I hand back to you, Kasia.
Thank you, Robin. Yeah, that's so helpful just to have that completed. Thank you so much. Yeah, and from this, we want to go into a preparatory attunement and then into the triads. So, you know, I loved your win, 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 win. You know, it's like it's, and this, you know, as I said at the beginning, the inspiration really here is that the difficulties that we face become like the most interesting moments. You know, and I know when our, you know, for me as a leader, when my personal trauma is triggered and I see it reflected in the teams that I work with, you know, it might be that somebody in my team is incredibly difficult. And I know that actually this is something I've met again and again and again as a leader. And I know it has to do with me, you know, or I find myself in my organizational work in society in the same situation again, or with my team. And I know this has to do with me, you know, at least maybe, at least some part of it, right? Because we're an incredible web of interbeing here. But in this whole framework, this is what we want to dedicate our triad today to. And I just want to read a small quote from the Tao Te Ching that we keep quoting here. We all get it from Thomas. Thomas loves this book. It's a translation by Stephen Mitchell of the Tao Te Ching, which was, of course, written by Lao Tzu more than 2,000 years ago in China, the great master. And he writes, "The master never reaches for the great. Thus she achieves greatness." You could say the leader never reaches for the great. Thus she achieves greatness. When she runs into a difficulty, she stops and gives herself to it. She doesn't cling to her own comfort. Thus problems are no problem for her. She doesn't cling to her own comfort, thus problems are no problem for her. Yeah, and today in the triad, we want to give you space to listen into your own work situation, your own experience as a consultant, a professor in a difficult situation, as a leader. But this question of where do you feel the past weighing down or disrupting the natural movement of your leadership, of your team? And let's just close our eyes for a moment to take a moment in quiet to attune to this together. And I invite you to connect back to your breath. That was a lot of through flow of information and recap. So just allow it to settle for a moment. And as you look at your life now, you look at your experience as a leader in whatever form or shape, what is the difficulty you are meeting? Maybe this is a difficulty you're meeting right now. Maybe it's a difficulty that you have met again and again in your leadership that you would like to focus on today. And just notice for a moment how it is for you to bring that present. Knowing that this so-called difficulty might be a signpost to an unconscious area that is ready to be felt more. Otherwise, why would it show up in your life? And also knowing that we're not meant to look at these areas alone. You know, maybe we need teams of resourcing, networks of resourcing, a whole field of resourcing to actually look at this. And also today in this triad, it might be too much to look at it directly. So just make sure that you go to the level of being with, of presencing that is right for you today, that you feel on that edge between discomfort and comfort, to look at that is healthy for you. Yeah, notice how this arrives in your body. Where there might be discomfort, where there might be comfort in your body. Just keeping that relationship to difficulty in a good balance of resourcing, connecting to the difficulty as you relate to it emotionally. Noticing what emotions come up as you relate to this challenge. And also maybe the compassion and the care, the love that we put into this field right at the beginning of the session today. That is there to support all of us. And also connecting to the mind, and just see what are maybe thoughts that come up in relationship to this difficulty. And maybe there are thoughts that you have thought 1,000 times before and that are more thoughts from the past. You might want to put these aside in your triad. Maybe you want to speak out some of them. It's up to you, you know, but maybe there are also words that come to you today that are fresh, more vulnerable than what you've spoken before, more connected to the future. And sometimes the future might, the actual future might feel very vulnerable. Thomas once brought this image that I often walk with, where it's as if we're walking over water. And with each step we take, it's not the certainty of land that we walk on. It's the uncertainty, the miracle in a way, this movement of walking on water. And every time we need to trust that a hand cups up and meets our feet so that we can take the next step. And the hand comes up and meets our feet and we can take the next step. And we never know for certain that our next step will be met by that hand of holding. And that hand of holding might be higher inspiration that flows in, might be our team members that hold us. it might be our triad members now that meet us with their presence and care to just listen deeply to us. So with that, we invite you, and I'll just give the instructions for the triad. So this is a space to listen into your work situation. Where do you feel the weight of the past as a difficulty slowing down or disrupting natural movement in you or your team? And what might the next step, just this very next step, starting close in towards the future, look like? And Anna, maybe you can also just put that in the chat for everybody to read, or I can also do that.
It's already in the chat. I just posted in the chat. It's there.
Thank you, Robin. Yeah, and you'll have 7 minutes per person. Before that, just 2 minutes to arrive. Really give yourself those 2 minutes to just arrive, become present to each other. Allow yourself to really become present to what is it you want to bring today. And then also at the end, we'll have 2 minutes to complete, and then we'll come back here into our shared space for sharing questions, insights. So, Anna, are we ready?
Yes, we're ready. So I'll send messages when you switch, so you don't have to track the time. And there, as it looks now, there will be two dyads. So if you end up with one person only, that means you have more space to share.
And just one response, there was a question of Rahul, is this only, you know, relating to difficulties from our past? Rahul, I would invite you to stay mostly with yourself, like on a personal level, but on a personal level also, you might relate to a difficulty that was in your ancestry, that is in your cultural field, in your collective field. And this might, of course, relate to the organization that you work in, but just, you know, thinking that where we are in a course where we've looked at the individual connection, the team connection, and we're on edge with, in the next sessions, we'll go to the organizational connection to the collective trauma. Great. Good, enjoy. Great, welcome back, everyone. It's always lovely to watch you arriving back. And there's just an added layer of warmth and connectedness to the group that is really palpable after these triads. So it's lovely. Good. So we would like to open up a space to you to share your insights, your questions, your thoughts. Yeah, whatever is alive in you right now. So if you're willing to come online, you're interested in sharing, being seen, being felt, then you're invited. And Elise, you have started very courageous. So I think Anna will probably spotlight you and me. And let's see how she does it. Oof, here I am. Just, there you go. Hi, lovely to see you. And you can just unmute yourself. Can you do that? You can't. Well, I don't. Okay.
All good now. Good. Thank you so much. I imagine I'm not alone in being in a really heart-centered space right now. With much gratitude, I had a recent conversation with someone that today's triad was a beautiful flow from that previous conversation a few days ago into today. I have been deeply grateful for this course and previous pocket project offerings. And yet I increasingly was feeling unsafe, unsafe enough to participate in triads for various reasons. And it wasn't apparent to me until that conversation a few days ago, just how much I was entering into spaces already closed. I was practicing being open, but, or thought I was, and was tangled up with so much fear and supported by many troubling experiences that I continue to have. And yet at the same time, there's a reason those I keep finding myself in similar circumstances, and that there's lessons for me to learn. And so today's triad was really beautiful. It turned out, despite our differences, we had so much in common. And that's often the case. That commonality is something that feels really available to me when I'm able to be open, when I feel safe enough to be vulnerable and talk about what it's like to be targeted as an Armenian person in this world and as a woman. And to really hear people's truths as they share them. And I was sharing in my triad space, I'll just conclude with this. I was sharing in the triad space that before the latest cycle of war was at my people's door, last fall, I was working on an art project to respond to destruction, to systematic destruction with creation. And I kept working on it during the war, and I had to stop. I couldn't, it was making me sick. And it didn't occur to me, I just needed to ask for help. I was very much trying to do it alone. And so the triad experience today, the teachings today, and just acknowledging the current circumstances in Afghanistan and many other situations, really reminding me how not alone I and we are. And now it seems help is pouring out everywhere I look for my things I'm working on, but I hope very much that may be the case with everyone.
Wow, beautiful, Elise. Yeah, maybe, you know, somehow as you bring yourself so present, I just want to acknowledge, because in our recap, we didn't speak about the BIPOC breakout sessions and the white bodies breakout session that we had also at the beginning of this week. But this is so much a part of what we're learning here, and also what we're continuing to practice and where we have so much to learn as the Pocket Project. So, you know, maybe to acknowledge that the conversation that you spoke about was a conversation between the two of us. Yeah, and just that this is another way of learning, and how precious that was, you know, that we all learn around how can we provide safe spaces for each person as much as possible, you know. And I just want to invite you for a last moment, so acknowledging all that and the learning that we're doing, to invite you to take a moment here as we attune to you and the situation that you're connected to in Armenia. And as you say that, you're realizing you don't need to do it alone. I mean, that's the first the signposting of trauma, is that we feel we need to do it alone. So I'm just taking a moment to honor you and your people. And how does it feel? Because I could feel the love and the care coming towards you. How does that feel in your body? Do you feel you can, how is it to receive that?
It's something that I am so unused to experiencing and yet have been building capacity towards for a really long time. And now it is a mostly joyous moment that I can to have any space for this at all is so deeply meaningful to me, situated within the context of all the struggles. And I think my people have spent such a long time being afraid to be seen, because when we're seen, it's not a good thing. A lot of the time. And yet this kind of being seen is so beautiful. Thank you so much, Kasha, and everyone. I'm a poet, and right now I don't have words.
But if they do come, you know, please share them. But I loved your honesty in saying it's mostly beautiful. I think that's what, that was what you said. And, you know, I think that when we're so used to having to do it alone, it's also like the opening up process is also frightening, and we meet everything on the way to receiving support. Also the pain and the grief. So I love that you say it's mostly, and that we can also acknowledge that it's not just easy to receive help, that even that can be very uncomfortable. Yeah, so thank you for your courage and your beauty here today. Thank you, Elise.
Thank you, and right back at you.
Yeah. Yeah, and do always go and read the chat, because there is so much support, so you could just get another little shower of, yeah, support. Thank you. And we'll go to you, Kathleen. So many friends coming up today. Kathleen, lovely to see you again.
Okay, just so you know, we can't reactivate our microphones. It has to be, I get a message, and I think that's the message she got, that the host has to do it.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I'll just begin by taking a deep breath, because I was in the triad with Elise. And so I feel in my heart and what was very strong for me in our triad was this: how do you feel safe when you belong to a population that people in power have been trying to kill for generations? The not feeling safe is true and has been true for generations. So creating safety has to take into account this reality and the past reality. And if you don't create safety, then you're always anxious and on edge, or you disconnect. So it's very delicate to create safety when your population is and has been in the line of being eliminated. And it resonates truly deep with me because we began with Afghanistan, who's been at war for not just now, but for a couple of generations. What is safety when you only know war? What is safety when people want to kill you for who you are and kill people like you for who you are? It's not even an individual person. That's what I want to share. It's a very deep and delicate path just to create safety.
Yeah, and I want to thank you, Kathleen, just like I just thanked Elise for everything you've brought to the Pocket Project in terms of teaching, questioning, challenging around that. You know, because it needs people that are courageous enough to speak out, even when they do not feel safe to speak out, to create safety for others. And, you know, I think you've done a lot of that for others in your life. You know, I don't know, but that's, you've definitely done that here. Well, and thank you for that.
Thank you for saying it, for recognizing it.
And I want to say also that we had a beautiful session on Monday with, I think 97 people came to the white breakout session. To look at white privilege and not explicit, but implicit racism that we might not be aware of. So I really feel that the wish in this field to learn and to help create safety for you is really waking up, you know.
And also to help create safety for white bodies.
Yeah. Because
when you're stuck in that hierarchy of white racism, it is not safe for white bodies.
Right.
You just get caught up in something, but it's not safety because you're scared, always scared. So you got to do something to not be scared. That's not safety. So how can we each one work on our trauma so that we truly create a safe space?
And I like, as you say that, you know, to feel the unsafety, the not feeling safe, and the safety that we are creating, and to acknowledge that both are there.
Yeah.
There's a sense of not being safe, and there's a safety that we are creating even right now.
And we can create it and grow that safe space. And there'll be unsafety there, but we're growing safe spaces.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy to hear lots of people came to the white bodied to work on white bodies.
We were hoping for 50 and then it was 97. We were so happy. Yeah. Thank you, Kathleen. Be well. And I hope that at some point you will experience this whole field also as a supportive field for you. Oh, you cannot unmute. Sorry. Now you should be able to.
Yes.
Sorry.
And so sometimes support is, how do we hold the discomfort? How do we hold the challenge? how do we say this does not work? And say, okay, then how can we find a way for it to be more workable, even if we don't see how? And and that's an intense project.
Yeah.
So I'm pleased to see that Pocket Project keeps trying.
Right.
Yeah. We don't know how, but we keep trying.
And I'm very, very pleased, Kathleen, that you keep trying with us. Thank you for staying with us. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry.
Me too. Yeah, big love to you.
Love to you too. And to this field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, and to go from you, Kathleen, to our good friend Magova is a very special treat. So.
Thank you. Thank you. So it took a while to unmute, and thank you for this space. So in the triad that I was in, the three of us were from three continents. And however, the sharing resonated so much with each and every one of us that by the end, I think most of us were feeling overwhelmed by what had been shared in the space for the three of us. And at that moment, when it felt so overwhelming, I connected to the teachings from Thomas that as leaders, we should see leadership not as a role but as a movement. And I think I had to tap into that resource so as not to feel overwhelmed, because our role, if we don't move away from that thinking of seeing leadership as a role, we might get swamped and we might become frozen, we might become ineffective and fail to play our part. So So I'm just sharing of the on the importance of not seeing leadership as a role, so that that can resource us to be able to play our part in whatever spaces we are. So I'm just expressing my gratitude towards that learning point that I think is quite a useful resource to utilize, because there is so much trauma all over the world, and we need to be tactful in the way we deal with it, in the way we sense it, in the way we approach it. So this particular resource, I found it quite useful. So thank you.
Magova, I wonder if I could just ask you something about the, because I know that you are so much of a leader also. And I would just love to create a bit more space around this sense of overwhelm that you had, you know, whether you can, I don't know whether this, if it doesn't work for you, don't, you know, just say so, but I wonder whether you'd be willing to feel, what does it feel like in your body when you touch that overwhelm?
Yeah, it's as I was sharing in my triad that this trauma for me is both personal and also I meet it in all my workspaces, and and I've been working for decades, and I constantly meet this. So yeah, so it can be really overwhelming. So when I sense into this, I tend to get into a space of impatience, lack of patience. But my indigenous wisdom has always told me that patience is a virtue, and so I have to keep on getting resources, particularly from my traditions, so that I can deal with the overwhelming situations that come from time to time. And as an individual, I have always believed that challenges are just a normal part of life. And so when they come, I welcome them. So I tend not to panic, because I knew yesterday that today there will be challenges. So I tend not to panic. So yeah, one needs to really utilize whatever resources are available to stay sane in the overwhelming situations, and to remain effective in contributing to the better future that we all aspire to have. So yeah, it can be overwhelming, and one needs to draw on a number of resources to remain in control.
Yeah, maybe it's okay for me to share just that. I've known you for a long time, Mugova, and I've been to Zambia where you work, and I've been to some of the schools where you work. Mugova works in schools to bring permaculture and school gardens, and not just in Zambia, but in Zimbabwe, in Tanzania. Oh, I'm too full right now to name them all. I would ask you to name them all, but I know that you meet with school children that are hungry, you know? And there are many of us that do not work in such existentially threatening, existentially, where it's really about life and death situations for some of these school children. And, you know, I wonder how in our field we can also build a network of support for those of us who work in, you know, really existentially threatening situations, like yourself, like Sposme, like Evita today. Yeah. Yeah, is there anything
thank you, Kosha. I think I appreciate the space, and also the feedback from the sharing, and I think for integration and for going forward, I think connecting and developing relationships is always a resource, I think, a very useful resource for all of us. So yes, we should remain open to all these connections that can only make us more resilient in the situations that we find ourselves in. So thank you.
Thank you, Mukul. Thank you so much for coming online and sharing. Yeah, so we go to you, Shalini, and it might be that you're also the last person just looking at the time. And I wonder, Robin, whether you want to pick up here with Shalini. It's up to you.
I'm open. Let's see what questions, Shalini, you bring or what you'd like to share. We can see who's best placed to respond with you.
Okay. Hi, Shalini. How lovely to see
you. Hi. It's so nice to be here. Nice is not the right word, but and I'm just really grateful for the space, and I'm a bit all over the place today. And I had a great dyad, actually. Thank you very much. Fun for that. And I mean, I just to share a little bit of that was just a lot of what has been reflected at the beginning is very much what's in existence in this repeat that's been going on for almost a decade in my kind of personal and family life. I'm back in Kenya now, and sometimes when I've been in these spaces, there's this part of me that just sits to one side and says, it's a bit like Mugove talking about the overwhelm. It's like it's all too big, and so often in the kind of, particularly in the Africa colonialism labs as well, there was just this like it's too big, and like it's just like this rock. It's not possible to get past. And in my personal dynamic, it's the same. And you know, and then what happens is that all of that fight, flight, anger, rage, everything just kind of comes flying up, and it's just a circle. You know, like so much of my energy then gets sucked into that, and then it's just like trying to do. I've managed to disconnect myself by speaking. I can feel that, but. There isn't much space for other work then.
Right.
And when there's all these differences of opinions that are so entrenched, I just go back to that same place of it's just impossible. You know, it's like insurmountable. It's not. What's the point? The thing that keeps happening to me. And
Shalini, maybe we can just be with you in this place of overwhelm, and it's too much, and it's just too much to hold. And we can just hold that with you for now. Yeah, I just want to invite you to be exactly as you are. You don't need to be anything special, anything different. You don't need to pull yourself together or something like that. We can just be with you in this place. Yeah. We breathe with you and we feel you.
It's weird. That's always been one of my big, big fears is like having a meltdown, and then I can just say thank you for saying breathe with you. There was something about that that just, and I just sort of, it's like someone else said, I can't even remember who now, but there's that, oh, maybe it was Elise actually, just that kind of, there's such an aloneness that can be part of all of this. And in my case, I'm very actively excluded. And I feel like I'm sort of just fighting through giant spider webs all by myself. And all that happens is more tangling up and, you know.
Yeah, and as coming back to the breath, I think the breath is a great way to both share with you and be with you, and also to invite you to, the out-breath is really your ally in moments like this. I think the out-breath, yeah, exactly. Two deep, long out-breaths, also very helpful in regulating our nervous system. And we also breathe with you. Yeah.
This is such a repetitive thing. I know, cautious of that thing about repetitiveness. And then there's that thing for me, it's like, if this just keeps repeating, you know, what, where, how does the shift happen? Why, how does, you know, because I don't see it. I mean, actually, Ishvan suggested a really interesting thing of not trying to kind of fight with this anger and the rage or push it to one side, which doesn't really work, you know, but just it's there, acknowledge it and just kind of go through it. And that was a very helpful visual in that dialogue, just, you know, for the still small voices usually behind that, you know, not.
Yeah, and maybe one of the ways to go through it is to be in it, as painful as that is. I think, gosh, I read one of the quotes I think she read earlier, was like, what's in the way is the way. And somehow I think like the way through it is to be in it. And as we're in it, we breathe in it. Maybe we create a little space so we can see it or witness ourselves in it. And maybe that's the beginning of healing. I think you're doing beautifully just to bring it and to bring yourself, to have the courage to bring yourself and say, here, this is me now. And to be with us and to allow us to be with you.
Yeah. I really heard that thing about reaching out. I mean, I think in some ways this time around, I feel so desperate that there isn't almost other ways to do it other than to reach out.
That's right. And that takes courage to reach out. Yeah, and you're doing it now. You're reaching out now, and we are with you. And people are writing in the chat that they're with you, and they're feeling you, and they're with you. And it's, I want to invite you to allow that as much as you can, to allow that experience in, that you're not alone, that we see your beauty and your vulnerability and the spider webs and the things that you're working through and in, and that you're not alone in that. How are you doing right now?
I feel a bit calmer. I feel like a little storm has just passed through, actually. I'm a little bit shaky. I sort of feel this sort of tremulousness sitting in me. I'm very grateful, really, very hugely grateful. Really means a lot.
Yeah. And maybe we take a few more deep long out breaths and we breathe with you a little bit more. It's one of the practices, right? Co-regulation. We feel you. You allow us to feel you. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, to just stay just a bit longer to allow it to ground. And maybe also for us as a field, I feel like there's a lot happening on the heart connection. And that we also just help to ground the energy. That both can be here. You know, and sometimes we need to acknowledge, Shalini, you know, that it's, you know, this is like, it's like you're carrying this and it's not you. You know, sometimes, for instance, there's conflicts between the siblings and they can't speak to each other because there is a trauma in the family. You know, it's not because you are wrong or the sibling is wrong or, you know, so there's like, you know, there can be a trauma in the collective that we're not ready to integrate. Like you said, the trauma around colonialism in Africa, it's too big. We're not ready. You know, we can hardly touch the surface. You know, and it might be generations before it actually can be integrated. You know, so we can acknowledge all that and just, you can be with what you can be with today, and you're doing it not just for yourself. And this balance between resourcing and, you know, going into the difficult recreation, you know, repetition, you know, resourcing, reaching out like you did today to come online here, you know, such a strong thing to do. Yeah, and I really, you know, our prayer is that in some small way in the Pocket Project, we may be able to build spaces of support for you. And that, you know, you can reach out. We're here.
Yeah.
And the we is not me and Anna, it's like all of us, and we're going to build more and more spaces that we can reach out to each other as a network.
Yeah, that would be great, because I know, and I've seen a bit, I haven't really been able to read all the chat, but it's very nice knowing I'm not alone in this sensation and this feelings and this overwhelm, and actually that's what those spaces allow, isn't it? It's just like, I'm not the crazy loony person with all that can't deal, you know, and hasn't been able to find solutions. It's, you know, actually it was in the, I don't want to go on too long, but the Africa colonialism thing also, that somewhere in that I really started to look a little bit more about at my, like my whole parent story as partition refugees and all of the, you know, I don't even know everything that they bring, because they don't my father refuses to talk about what happened, refuses. He's 80, and he, you know, he came here to Kenya when he was 7. Will not. And I don't know what I'm saying now, but just the spaces that they, I'm beginning to understand more and more, and not just, I don't even know what I'm saying, it's just like it's so necessary.
And maybe we can just take a moment here to honor the dignity of you, your culture, your people. The collective, cultural, the family field, your family, what you bring here, the dignity of what you bring and what is asking for healing. You know, it's, as you say, it's such a big work. You know, and we cannot do it alone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Shalini.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's beautiful. Yeah, I think we're needing to move towards the end of our call now. So thank you, Shalini. And thank you, Magova and Kathleen and Elise and everybody who also wanted to speak. And thank you, everybody else, for also holding the pot. Like we often refer to that, but like your presence, your loving presence, your care, whether you write in the chat or you don't write in the chat, just your loving care and presence in the field of compassion that we bring and the field of presence that we create is a beautiful thing. So thank you, everybody, for your contribution today.
Yeah, and I also just want to say thank you, everyone. Thank you, Robin, for holding this call with me. Thank you, Shalini. Thank you, everyone who came online. And we pass on to Robin to just close the call.
Yeah, I was also going to pass my thanks to you, Kasia, for a great summary. I think there's a lot of great appreciation for also the summary of the teachings up to now and for the beauty of holding today's call. Thank you very much, Kasia. So a few announcements to close. Firstly, and maybe you were in one or two triads sometimes with people who had to leave for other sessions, and we want to really apologize for two sessions which have overlapped with sessions that Thomas is leading at the same time. So a few people needed to leave last session after the first hour of the module to take part in the Mystic Cafe, and today's call overlaps with an introductory session in the Timeless Wisdom training, and we're really very sorry about that. These calls and trainings are organized by different parts of the Thomas field, if you like, and we're still working out how best to coordinate these things, so our apologies for that. We have also noticed that there's a potential overlap also on the session that Karen Sims is going to be leading on racialized trauma in organizations on September 12th, so we've shifted that by an hour in order to avoid the overlap on that day. So we think that the overlaps are now finished, but we apologize for the two occasions on which those have happened. There will be a second BIPOC breakout group tomorrow, actually, at 5 o'clock CEST, lasting for 90 minutes. And that's going to continue to build upon the experiences from the first meeting. So we commend that to you. And next Sunday, we have module 6, which will be led by Thomas, on leadership and organizational resilience, looking at the past and acknowledging what happened to your organization that was traumatizing. How can rapid learning loops be initiated that help the organization to move towards trauma sensitivity and trauma integration? And what is needed for a process of integration and restoration that leads to ongoing organizational resilience? So having looked at personal resilience and team resilience, now we look at organizational resilience, and that'll be next Sunday at 6 p.m. CEST, 2-hour class led by Thomas. So we look forward to seeing you then. And as we were talking just now, and as this field was building, I was reminded of the words of a poet called William Stafford. He's an Indigenous poet in the USA and poet laureate in Oregon. And he wrote a poem. One poem of his is called A Ritual to Read to Each Other. And at the beginning, if I remember it rightly, he says, "If I don't know who you are, and you don't know who I am, a pattern that others made may prevail in the world. And following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. If I don't know who you are, and you don't know who I am, a pattern that others made may prevail in the world. And following the wrong God home, we may miss our star." And somehow I feel like part of what we do in these calls is we get to know each other so that we can really follow our star, our inner glory, if you like, our inner light. And we don't need to follow a pattern that others made. We make our own patterns individually and collectively by getting to know each other. So I leave you with those few words of William Stafford's very wise man, and we wish you very well until we meet again. Either some of you will meet tomorrow and the rest of us will meet as a whole group next Sunday. Bye-bye, and go well until then.